All right, we're live. Keep that in.
We're live.
Yeah, we're live. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to a Galaxy. It's Dev here, and if you are looking for a safe space to rant about books, games, anime, manga, the world, life, being old, you've come to the right place, because we got all of that for you. Today we are talking about one of our book club reads, which was The Last Tale
of the Flower Bride
by Roshani Chokshi. I hope I said her name right. I think that's how you pronounce it. If not, I
think the audiobook person said Roshani Chokshi.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Roshani Chokshi. So hopefully one of those two pronunciations are correct. I apologize. Please let me know how to pronounce it.
We love you. I'm sorry. We didn't mean to butcher your name.
Before we get into it, though, we can give a few updates. I don't know if you've been up to anything. Loretta, but...
Not really. I have started reading. Last year, I reread From Blood and Ash. Book one, reread book two, and now I started rereading book three because, by God, I am going to catch up on this series. I am determined. Book three is the last book I read before I fell off of the train. So next I get to start the Flesh and Fire series, and I'm actually excited about that because everyone says it's really good. So my reread is good. It's fun to reread it. I don't know. It's like a fun series. Like, it's not, I don't know. People hate on it. I'm not looking for, like, revolutionary writing, but I'm having a good time, and that's what I care about.
Yeah. It's fun. There's a lot going on. Like, the highest fantasy, I plan this world out from scratch, I have notebooks full of notes and
absolutely not.
Boards? No. But
it's a lot. It's fun. It's too much sometimes, too. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm taking notes in the margins and stuff, and it's a lot to keep track of for no reason. I don't know. Anyway. But I love that series. But I also randomly started reading A Court of Blood and Bindings by Lizette Marshall, I think it is. I'll double check that and I'll put it in the notes if it's wrong. But I love it. I randomly picked it up because it's an Audible audiobook that I got on sale randomly like forever ago. And I don't know why this week I was just like, sure, let's try this. And it's really fun. And there's a fae with wings and he can't talk. And like, she has to help him communicate. And they're like trying, it's enemies to lovers because she's a human and he's a fae. And then they're like coming together to try and take down the fae queen because she's really mean and she's fucking everyone over. So it's a good time. I like it a lot. I highly recommend.
I will add it to my
reading
list.
There's wingspan jokes. Like, it's great. Who doesn't love a good wingspan joke?
Always.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
I got called into jury duty, so I got a lot of reading done. I did not end up being on the jury, but I did my duties as an American, so there's that. And then I also – so that was helpful for me to get this book done, actually. I read, like, 30% in while I was just, like, hanging out at the courthouse.
You were texting me at the jury duty thing, and you were like, what the F is this book? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get into that. And then I also finished reading Bride by...
Me too, Allie I forgot!
Hazelwood.
It's so good. It's so fun.
It was very fun. So you and Kaylee were both like, oh my God, this is fun.
I finished it first and I couldn't stop. I finished it on my own and I couldn't stop reading it. Like, I binged it in like 2 days, which for me is a lot. I never read that fast. But yeah, I finished it and I was like, no one I know has read this book. So then I texted Kaylee and I was like, by chance, have you finished this book? And she was like, oh my God, I literally just finished it. And I was like, we were fangirling over it. And then that made Dev read it, I think.
Yeah, I bought it because I got a gift card for Barnes & Noble for Valentine's Day as part of my gift. So we went and I splurged. And I had a $25 gift card. I had $25 in credit. And then Barnes & Noble had like the buy one, get one 50% off on some of their paperbacks. Mm-hmm. So I went wild and I just got a bunch of stuff. And I only ended up spending like $50. And I got like a vinyl. I got my free tote bag because I'm a Barnes & Noble member. So nice. We get like free tote. But they're like, oh, do you want your free tote bag? And I was like, yeah, I guess. And I already have the one that says Barnes & Noble that has, like, the book outlines on the side. Yeah. So I got an orange one that says A Bag Full of Books. It's actually super cute. And it has, like, two pockets for, like, your phone and, like, just extra stuff. And then just, like, it's just a cute tote bag. I've been using it for everything. I took it with me to jury duty.
Nice.
But I ended up getting Bride and a bunch of other stuff. And this was my first Allie Hazelwood book. Which
me too, yeah.
I don't know why. You can totally tell that it was an Allie Hazelwood book too because she throws in so many like scientific references, which like if you know she wrote The Love Hypothesis and like all of the science.
Love Theoretically.
Science book. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And she throws in like all of these scientific things that like I don't think her main character would necessarily know, but I was like, I guess they all know science.
I'm here for it, I guess. Yeah.
But it was really fun. And then because I read that, I went down this hole of like an Omegaverse, which I had never heard of before, which shocking because knowing both of us, we should both know what an Omegaverse is.
You know about Omegaverse?
No, it was just like not a thing. So I don't know. It just like got on TikTok randomly.
I know about Omegaverse because I read webcomics all the time and it's huge in webcomics and I've read Omegaverse webcomics, but I've never really read an Omegaverse book before.
Yeah.
Which is now something I kind of want to do, not going to lie.
But I feel like we have though, like unless I'm understanding it incorrectly, like
I mean, maybe we have.
I feel like is an Omegaverse thing. Like,
yeah, there's like an alpha and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like the same exactly, but kind of.
Yeah. And so I went down this spiral and I was like, this feels weird. This feels weird to talk, like to know about. Like, I don't.
It's a whole thing.
What? And so I went down that spiral of like, yeah, it is misogynistic and like oddly like weird if you think about it, but like it works because they're monsters and
some of the webcomics I've read get super weird about it. I don't know. It just depends, I think.
And but so
it's a whole thing.
I was like, okay, cool. But anyway, I finished Bride. I finished Last Tales of the Flower Bride. I'm like halfway through Kingdom of the Curse, which I've been reading for months and I'm trying to finish it. I'll get there.
It's good, right? You're just like distracted.
Yeah, it is good. It's just that I've been having to read so many different things and
books and stuff.
It takes the back seat. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. I'm going to take the boy to Universal Studios for his birthday a month early because he won't be here for his actual birthday. So we're going and doing that, and that should be fun. But yeah, I'm hopefully back in my reading era, and
it's looking promising. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. I finished so many books already. I'm super excited and I'm ready to talk about The Last Tale of the Flower Bride because I have thoughts.
I'm not.
Like, I have a lot.
I don't.
I'm ready, but I also don't think that I have any coherent thoughts.
Me neither.
Because I still don't really know what to think.
If you're looking for a constructive review of this book, this is not the place to get it because I still don't know how I feel about it.
I'm smart enough to understand. I think that I'm just like a dumb biatch.
We're just two dumb bitches.
Yeah.
Who happened to read this.
I'm willing to admit that maybe it went over my head a little bit and I'm not sure. But anyway, we'll start off. I'm going to read a synopsis for anybody who doesn't know what this book is about. We'll give a brief spoiler-free review of our thoughts and then we'll jump into spoilers for everybody who has read this and wants to like get into it or has questions
or doesn't want to read it and wants to know what happens.
Yes, or that, because I have thoughts. We'll pause and I'll read
the synopsis.
Read the synopsis that's online. Apparently this was a nominee for Best Fantasy on the Goodreads Choice Awards, which like we know that Goodreads is problematic when it comes to their awards, so take that with a grain of salt. But my first thought is like, I still don't know if this is actually a fantasy book or not. So we'll get into that later, but let's Go it. This is what it says. It says, a sumptuous gothic-infused story about a marriage that is unraveled by dark secrets, a friendship cursed to end in tragedy, and the danger of believing in fairy tales. The breathtaking adult debut from New York Times bestselling author Roshni Shoshki. That's like the little blurb. And so then you get into it and it says, once upon a time, a man who believed in fairy tales married a beautiful, mysterious woman named Indigo Maxwell Castagnata. He was a scholar of myths. She was an heiress to a fortune. They exchanged gifts and stories and believed they would live happily ever after. And in exchange for her love, Indigo extracted a promise that her bridegroom would never pry into her past. But Indigo learns that her estranged aunt is dying, and the couple is forced to return to her childhood home, the House of Dreams. The bridegroom will soon find himself unable to resist, for within the crumbling manor's extravagant rooms and musty halls, there lurks the shadow of another girl, Azure, Indigo's dearest childhood friend who suddenly disappeared. As the house slowly reveals his wife's secrets, the bridegroom will be forced to choose between reality and fantasy, even if doing so threatens to destroy their marriage or their lives. Combining the lush, haunting atmosphere of Mexican Gothic with the dreamy enchantment of the invisible life of Addie LaRue, The Last Tale of the Flower Bride is a spellbinding and darkly romantic page-turner about love and lies, secrets and betrayal, and the stories we tell ourselves to survive.
I don't know if I would compare this to Addie LaRue, but...
And it has almost 4 stars. It's at 3.71 on Goodreads, so...
I rated this 4 stars, and it was a very hesitant and confused 4 stars. I wake up one day, and I'm like, maybe I should lower it to 2, and then sometimes I'm like, no, it deserves the 4, and then I don't even know. I'm so confused about how I feel about it.
I rated it, I think, 3.5, 3.5. I think I gave it 3 because, like, the story itself is enjoyable. I think that there are elements that I really enjoyed. The ending is the best part. I think that it was a slow buildup, and I think that if this was written as a screenplay and if it was a movie, it would be more enjoyable. Right. I think it's because, like, I literally was just questioning everything I was reading the entire time. I was like,
yeah,
is there, like, that's why, okay, back to the whole best fantasy of the year. I am still not convinced this is a fantasy book. Like, I in my heart believe that these characters are all just crazy. Like, I don't believe that magic existed in this world at all. Didn't really enjoy the writing style because
that was the thing I loved.
I hated the writing. Not hated. I am not a fan.
It's very, like, flowery.
Yeah. I am not a fan of very flowery, like...
I get it. I get why you... Like, I think it's something you either love or hate.
The house didn't want me to leave. I tripped over a floorboard and my scarf got caught on the gate and it groaned and it sighed. And I'm like, but is the house alive or not? Just, I need an explicit, like, the house is magic. So that way I'm not questioning myself the entire time. Or I need an explicit, like, I'm just a flowery writer. And, like, there are not fairies. There are no fairies and there's no demons. There's no magic. Like, I just like writing this way. And I always compare, I know I was telling you, but I compare it to, what's her name? Lainey Taylor and Maggie Seyfeder, because I feel like they are very happy mediums. They have very magical writing, but you always know whether it's, like, magical in the actual magical sense or it's magical in, like, the theoretic sense, like a magical kiss or a magical whatever piece of hair or whatever it might be. Like, you always know.
They have flowery writing, but whatever they say, you can take for face value. Like, you can take it face value.
Yes.
Like, that it's actually happening.
This book, I could not take anything for face value, and that leads me to believe that it's not actually magic. Everybody's just psycho.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So, spoiler-free synopsis is that the bridegroom, who we never actually know his name, the bridegroom believes that...
That was part of what kept me reading, because I thought at the end we would finally I thought at the end she would finally call him his name and we would finally know, and then she didn't and we never knew.
Yeah.
That bothers me. I want to know.
Which I don't know what fairy tale this is supposed to be remaking of, if it is at all. I don't know if that's ever mentioned.
I get what she was trying to do, and I kind of respect it. Like, I think it's like, I think what she was trying to do was really cool, because the entire time you're reading it, they're referencing other fairy tales and other folklore and stuff, which I will admit got to be a lot. Like, after a while, I was like, okay, you don't have to reference the same thing like every other page. Like, I get it. I get it. But I think the book was trying to emulate the feeling of those fairy tales, which, I mean, she succeeded. Because, like, the creepy old fairy tales make you feel uncomfortable, and they're unsettling, and they're kind of gory and weird, and this is definitely that. But I still don't – I don't know.
Yes, and I –
But, like, listening to those folklore stories is kind of unenjoyable for me, because they are weird and gory and macabre.
Yeah, but you also always know, like, it's a fairy tale and you know that there is actually magic, versus in this, like, modern day fairy tale or whatever you want to call it, I don't know. Like, everybody is just icky or annoying or, like, upsetting to me at, like, various points in the book.
Yeah.
But the story, again, the story is enjoyable. It is very, and
okay. I don't know if I loved the experience of reading this book, but I will say that I stayed up until 3:30 a.m. finishing
the
it
ending is
because
so good.
I needed to know what happened. And I don't know where that leaves me, but the ending was so good that I'm having a hard time, like, thinking past it, because I didn't see it coming at all.
Yeah, I feel like there were no clues, but also it makes so much sense. Like, it was right in front of me, and I was like...
It was great,
I focused so much on whether or not there was the, like, the house was magic, that I just completely disregarded everything else.
Yeah.
But, okay, so back to spoiler-free kind of breakdown, because we got sidetracked because the writing is just too much.
Tangent,
for me, because, again, I'm willing to admit that I'm maybe just a dumb biatch. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I need basic writing and I can't appreciate it. But also maybe it was just too much. So let me know if you're like me and you just need, like, somewhere in the middle. Somewhere with magical elements, but not over the top. But anyway, the bridegroom is one of the POVs. And then Azure, who is Indigo's friend, is the other POV. So you're getting multiple POVs in this book. And the bridegroom...
There's also two timelines happening at the same time.
Yes, which is not very clear until you figure it out on your own. But it spans an entire childhood into their adult life. So you get Indigo and Azure growing up together. They get into their teenage years. And then you also get Indigo and the bridegroom as adults. And the bridegroom studies myths because he's convinced that his little brother got taken to fairy. And Indigo lives in a house that she is convinced is magical and that,
like,
also
sentient.
Has fairies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the house is magical. The fairies live in their other world. And so it is essentially a story about growing up and is becoming an adult and, like, living through trials and tribulations and, you know,
a coming of age,
that you go.
But, like, a horror coming of age kind of.
Yeah, I would say it's a coming of age when you're dealing with stuff that most people don't. When you're dealing with difficult situations or difficult family life, or you have a difficult childhood and what stems from that and how you
I will
cope
say
with
that this
it, essentially.
Yeah, this is nothing like I thought it was going to be. I pre-ordered this book when she announced that it was happening because I thought it was going to be a romance book, and it is not. And I would classify this as, like, a horror book.
I was going to say, I think it's, like, more of a thriller for me. Like, I...
You would
like
know,
I said,
yeah.
I went into
I think of
it,
this as horror because I never read horror, but maybe it's more of, like, a psychological thriller?
Yeah, or a psychological thriller that has those horror elements because you don't know what to expect, or you don't know, like, who is evil or
who's
not.
Some screwed up stuff happens, so...
Yeah. Like, I'm still not – there's not really a villain. There's not really, like, a main character that is, like, the antagonist. There are There are certain people that do bad things and certain people that antagonize. There is one character that
I
consider
the villain, but I don't know if it's, like, they're not –
But he is only the villain to one of the characters. He's not a villain to everybody.
Yeah.
So, it, like, when as the story progresses, I think the, quote, main villain is, like, life. Like, life lessons. Or, like, you know, like, the situations that arise. Like, Indigo's parents die in an airplane crash, I think.
I can't even remember. I think so.
They die in some type of crash. They die when she's very young.
They enter their childhood, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, you see them navigate life and deal with their trauma in very fairy tale-esque ways. And that's, I think, where the fantasy comes in. But, like I said, I'm not convinced that there's any magic in this book, and I need somebody to just tell me straight up.
I chose to believe that there is, but I can also see the flip side. Like, there could not be at all. I don't know.
I think everybody in the book was just dealing with so much trauma and so much just everything, life, that they all are crazy in their own ways. And I, after sitting with my thoughts for however long it's been, like the 2 weeks that I finished this, I think that's where I'm staying. Like, I think it makes it better that way. I don't know about you, but I think having, like, keeping my mind open about, like, no, I think that these are just crazy people makes the ending and makes the whole story better than if it was actually magic.
Makes it more fun to think about.
Yeah. But anyway, now you have both of our sides of, like, what we liked and didn't like. Do I recommend this?
I have no idea.
If you want to hear the ending and then decide if you want to read it based off of that, stick around. We'll tell you exactly what happens. But I personally didn't like the writing. Loretta loved the writing. Mm-hmm.
It's very flowery. So, like, just know, like, if that's typically your thing, then you'll be fine.
Personally, didn't dislike or like the characters. They were kind of all over the place for me. Like, sometimes I felt bad, which I guess that's a good thing. Like, I guess that's a point. Like, sometimes I felt bad for people. Sometimes, sometimes I hated them. Sometimes I liked them. Sometimes
there
I was like,
there are things about this book that I didn't like, but I can't really talk about them without giving away stuff.
I also would have liked if the POVs were centered around, like, a better thread, because it felt kind of like random for a while. Like, you just get the bridegroom for, like, the first few chapters, and then all of a sudden it jumps just because of a mention of a name or something, and then you jump into the past. And I was like, I wish he would have, like, found a journal, or he would have found, like, a note.
I thought that was gonna be a thing. I know, yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, like, I wish there would have been, like, a better tying thread between the timelines and
POVs. I kept waiting for you to discover one specific thing that I don't want to give away.
Yes.
But he doesn't, and then he kind of just, like, figures it out.
So the timeline, the POVs, the writing, the characters. I also felt like the pacing could have just been a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
It's kind of slow and mellow for the first two-thirds of the book, and then by the time you get towards the end, it speeds up really quickly, and you're like, whoa, how did we get here? What just happened? Like,
And wild. It felt like a lot of the middle stuff wasn't necessary. I don't know.
Yeah. Or it could have been wrapped up a little bit more quickly, or
I think some stuff could have been expanded upon in the beginning, and then some stuff could have, like, been taken out of the middle.
Yeah, like, she rushed their marriage and their love story and, like, the romance in the beginning, and then she expanded too much on the middle part.
And they're suddenly married and together, and I was like, wow, all right.
They, like, meet in a bar, and they're like, hey, what's up? I think I like you. And she's like, oh, you want to get married? You have access to all my stuff. And he's like, you're weird and quirky. Like, yeah, let's get married. And then I'm weird they're married.
Too. Let's get married. Yeah.
Or at least that's how it felt.
Yeah.
So I feel like I agree with that. Like the timing of everything in the structure, I think could have just been like slightly different.
I wanted more of a build up to their relationship and their marriage. And then I feel like some stuff could have been taken out of the middle. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that if she would have built up a little, like built up upon the relationship, we would have felt more invested in the fact that he was like breaking the promise to never look into her past. Because the way that I felt, I was like, you don't even know this girl. Like,
right.
You got married really like quickly.
It didn't feel like a betrayal because he didn't even know her to begin with. And it hasn't been that long.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't. Yeah, I would betray her, too.
Of course, you're snooping around her past.
But yeah, did we cover off on all the basics? Characters, timing.
Yeah, I think
writing.
So.
I'm still confused if there's magic or not. I'm going to say no. Loretta says yes.
This is a very open-ended book. Like it's up to you to interpret how it ended. And sometimes I really hate that. It's like sometimes I just want you to tell me.
I think that the ending, like,
but I also kind of liked it and I respect it. So I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, the ending was my favorite part.
Yeah, me too.
Like, the last few chapters were my favorite part, but... That is our spoiler-free review of The Last Tale of the Flower Bride. I gave it 3.5 stars, I think, 3 stars. Loretta gave it 4. I still think I liked it more than Immortal Longings a little
bit. Me too.
I
was definitely more engaged.
Yeah, I was too, trying to figure things out. So now we'll start talking about spoilers, and if you want to know what happens in the end, stick around, and then you can decide how you want to deal with it. Or if you've read it, stick around, and we can talk through it. And if not, stop here, and then you can come back after you read it.
But listen to us,
yeah. Everybody who is in the book club with us, who's already read it, and everybody else who's already read it, let's jump into it, because I have spoilery thoughts that I want to talk about, and I... have been holding it in for so long. So, starts now. Let's get into it.
Let it be free. No, let them free.
Okay. My first thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, do we need to give a synopsis of what happens? But I don't know. I guess people
figure it out. Oh, yeah, I guess we can. I guess we can do a synopsis and then jump into it. So, spoilers are that Indigo and Azure meet when they're like 11. Azure has an icky, abusive, pedophile-ish stepdad.
What's his name? Julius or something? He had a weird name.
He
was also
his
like
name.
One of the only men with names, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of men in this book. At all, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Like,
there's
three.
Two of them have names, I think. Anyway.
Yeah. So she does not have a good childhood at first. It's only her and her mom. She doesn't know who her dad is, or at least the dad's not around as far as we know. And the mom is kind of negligent because she's so obsessed with this new guy. And she is paranoid and jealous of her daughter because
it's so weird.
The icky adult man pays too much attention to her. And they move into his
house.
He's
so creepy. I was waiting for it the whole book.
I was like, you are going
to make a move, and I hate it.
I will say that those moments, which like I don't think I could talk about in the spoiler-free because it's like such a big part of the book, like those moments really got to me. So I will say
me
that
too,
she wrote
yeah.
them really well, because I was like, oh my god, like what is going on?
Yeah.
And like how the mom would get so mad whenever he was looking at the daughter that they would like have sex with the Ugh. Door open so that way the kid would hear. And I was like, oh,
ew,
this is making
I know.
Me uncomfortable. I can't.
I hate it.
She
called her a slut, I think, at one point.
Yeah, because of her hair. She's like, don't wear your hair down like that anymore. You look like a slut or whatever. And the mom is just not a good mom. She doesn't have a good home life. So anyway, they move into that guy's house. I forget his name too. And then Azure leaves because she doesn't want to be like seen. She's like, I feel icky here. Mm-hmm. And she stumbles upon Indigo at the house and they get to talking. Now they're besties, and
they bond over believing in fairy myths.
Yeah, they believe in magic stories. And they believe in fairies, and they become best friends, and they do fairy magic, and they give tits, and they give what are they called? Sacrifices and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And, their end goal is basically to be a part of the fairyland that they believe is in the backyard of this magical house. Quote, magical.
Yeah, they believe that there's like an alternate fairy realm.
Called the Otherworld in their backyard. And,
I mean, they have the Otherworld, but I thought that they also believed in like a different realm.
Yeah, so they believe in a different realm, but they believe that the realm starts in the other world. So, that's where they were going to get into fairies.
I thought
fairies.
Of them as
like,
separate things for some reason.
Like, the other world is where the real world starts and, like, the fairy world begins. And they could only get to the fairy realm by doing all
through
of these
the other
steps
world.
And then go to the other world to get into fairy.
Okay, that makes sense.
And they talk about it, too, where there's, like, the bridegroom's version of that is like his closet, right? Like the closet is his other world that leads
into fairy. I think that's why I thought of them as separate things, because he kept thinking of it as like a different realm that his brother went into.
Yes.
So I thought of it.
They believe that they're going into another realm, but it's like when they say that they're like pockets, like where the world is thinner or like whatever, like the veil is thinner between reality and the other world or whatever, right? So that's like where they were closest to the fairies. That's where they did all of their stuff. Mm-hmm. And Indigo is an heiress to a huge fortune. And she gets taken in by her aunt. And the aunt is also kind of not all there because she lost a sibling and also a husband and a child, according to Indigo. We never know if she's lying or not. She's all over the place.
She's an untrustworthy narrator.
Yes. Unreliable narrator, and her aunt
is a witch. Azura thinks of her as a witch.
She does hair
always,
magic, like hair and teeth and like a bunch of art.
It's very interesting.
That doesn't really get discussed until the end when her like artwork gets sent to the people who bought it, and I was like, I didn't even realize
that's
what she
even
was
really
doing.
I kind of wanted to know more about that because it was so odd.
Yeah. And so
we never learn.
The whole time the story is going on, you learn that Indigo is doing everything in her power to keep Azure around and to not let her stray away from her. Basically, she wants to keep her near her, keep her from having friends, keep her from experiencing things. And she does everything in her power to make sure that happens. Like, she hides her passport because so they can't go to Paris, even though Azure was really excited about that. She has sex with her boyfriend because she's like, haha, look, he doesn't like you as much as you thought. Sorry. And
Indigo and Azure, for a while when they're kids, believe that they're two halves of the same soul. And for a while when they're kids, that's okay because they're best friends and they love each other. But then as they get older, Azure starts realizing that she wants to learn more about the world. Like, she wants to travel and she wants to go to college. She wants to meet new people. And Indigo starts freaking out and she's like, oh, no, you can't leave. And then she starts doing this crazy stuff to try and keep her near her.
Yeah, their whole pact from when they were young or from as like teenagers is that they need to experience like human things before they can like transition into the fairy world and be like what they actually are, which is a fairy. Mm-hmm. So they like go out and they go to like the parties at night when they're in high school. They like don't shave their legs, but then Azure finds out that Indigo's actually shaving her legs, but she just does it in secret so she doesn't find out.
Yeah.
And she makes them not go to Paris. She plans the whole thing out so that way they're forced to stay at the house. And then there's something with the – oh, and then Azure's like, my mom wants to go away with me. Like, she's getting better. And then Indigo basically
drugs her.
Mm-hmm. And – blackmails the stepdad and the daughter to make it seem like he was taking pictures of her while she was asleep in the bed, and the mom go sideways them. Off the chain yeah. and is like, we're not leaving. We're not taking the car. We're staying here. And Indigo's like, see, you were always meant to stay with me. Haha. I went over. I went again. So when all of these things start happening when they're older, I was like, wow, I hate Indigo so much. They have like a new friend that they take in who wants to also be a fairy.
Oh, yeah.
And they
– Puck.
Indigo – yeah, Puck. Indigo makes her do a whole bunch of crazy things, and Azure like is weird just too jealous fairy hazing. To say anything. Yeah. At first, Azure is jealous, and she's like, ugh, I hate this girl. Why is she even here? Mm-hmm. And then Indigo makes her basically almost drown herself and like – to get magic, and she can't do it. I feel
like that's the start of when Azure is like, oh, this is like messed up. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know.
Yeah, and she's like, why did she could have died? And Indigo was like, she didn't though, because she doesn't have magic. Like, okay. And so basically, you're just going back and forth the whole book, like hating either one of them for yeah, whatever.
As you're learning
and then
about their childhood.
For one of them at any given point.
Yeah. And as you're learning about their childhood, there's Bridegroom and Indigo. They meet in a bar. They have one night together, and they're, like, in love suddenly. They get married. They have, like, 3 years together, I think. And then Tati, Indigo's aunt, gets sick. And she has to go and, like, you know, deal with the estate and the aunt being dying. And so then Bridegroom yes. is in the house, and he's learning all of these – he's slowly learning all of these things about Indigo as he goes, and he's trying to dig into her past, but he promised her he wouldn't.
So. But he also – that this is where my critique about the timeline comes in, because the only connection that we get at first is he hears the name of her friend, and he's like, who's that? But he never actually digs – he never actually finds anything about her.
Yeah, Tati and says some random thing about, yeah, like oh, Azure
she went to
the and
the other
Indigo
world
Sky, and they used to be, I don't know, she says yeah. some cryptic thing, and he's like, what?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it jumps into the past, and I'm like, how did we get here? Like, how do we know this information? Because he doesn't know it, and nobody's around to tell him. The only person who knows is Indigo,
yeah,
and she's
I never
not sharing. Like, it just jumps. Like, he hears her name, and then we're in the past, and I'm like... He doesn't know any of this. So how are we as the reader knowing this when yeah. he doesn't know this? He just barely found out she existed. And now we're like, they're 11 years old. Okay. Got it. Who are we learning this information from? Because it's not the bridegroom. So who's telling this story now?
Yeah.
So it was just like really weird.
The whole time when we were in the present with Bridegroom, I was waiting for him because an Indigo is sketching in this sketchbook mysteriously all the time in the past when they're kids.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for, I thought that was going to be the thing. Like I thought he was going to find her sketchbook and then see something like really crazy. And then he'd be like, oh my God, and figure it out. I don't know. But he never found the sketchbook. And now I'm mad that like she was sketching in this sketchbook the whole time. And we never really
this is where the ending comes in and why I think that they're psychotic, that everybody's just psychotic, everybody's dealing with trauma. We're actually in a psych ward, everybody's
yeah we never
oh,
saw
also
the end.
Also before we get to there, there's a whole bridegroom storyline where he's like searching for his brother, right, which he never finds. And he
it is the most pointless
himself,
side story.
He convinces himself that the house is magic and like showing him real memories that he has forgotten or that like don't exist, he's not sure. And so at first you think like, oh, his brother's missing, his brother was taken into fairy, and that's why I'm not convinced there's magic, because like the whole time they're talking about fairy and going to fairy, and then you find out the end and you're like, but wait, then they never even got there, like that's not even a yeah. thing, like what's going on? So I was like, this is just be like, they're all psycho, they're all like going through
yeah when
it.
He was a kid,
they have trauma.
He has memories of him and a brother, and he, like, is convinced yeah. that he had a brother, and then one day he asks his mom about his brother or something, like, oh, what about...
Yeah, and the mom's like, you never had a brother.
You never had a brother. What are you talking about? Yeah. And he's
and
like,
the
what?
And then the house is like, oh, find Azure for me, and
so
I'll,
he's convinced
like,
that his brother is in
brother.
This other realm. Yeah, and then when he starts looking for Indigo, looking through Indigo's past, the house is like, oh, if you find Indigo, or Azure...
Yeah.
I'll give you your brother's memories back or whatever. Your yeah. the memory of your brother
and,
back.
And so he starts having flashbacks of like what actually happened. And apparently
I was so invested
he also
in that
had,
too.
He also had a traumatic family life, and his brother had asthma and his dad was abusive and his mom didn't care and they were trying to run away and his brother got locked into the cupboard and couldn't get out and like died of an asthma attack because he didn't have his inhaler and he couldn't get to him on time because his dad like beat
that
him.
Was the
and
reveal that's what he was, the like, reveal was that his brother
the whole time.
Yeah, that the reveal was that his brother was dead the entire time and I was like, are you kidding me? And that was
and
it.
He just
like,
locked
nothing
it out
had,
and convinced
like, he just
himself.
Finds, yeah. He just finds out his brother died and that's the reveal. And then that's it. And I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah, quote. He finds out like the house shows
the house
him
revealed
that his brother's always dead. The house that may or may not be magical. Like, I'm convinced it's not. And so I just think that this is a book full of traumatized people who had mental breakdowns and like something happened where they just like suppressed it and they're like, I'm gonna live in this fairy tale world forever because it's easier to deal with all of my trauma and get me to live a life now. I'm just gonna move on. So yeah. All of this happens, right? We're culminating. We're learning all of this about Indigo and Azure. They're having their moments as teenagers and fighting and making
Indigo's
up.
Getting
and Indigo,
increasingly psychotic.
Unhinged. She's toxic. She's just wild.
Yeah, those are better words.
She cheats with Azure's boyfriend to prove a point. Azure takes her back because she doesn't want to be home. And she's like, I have nowhere else to go. And then they have a graduation party, and this is, like, the culmination of everything, right? Again, I'm still not sure how we're learning all of this because Bridegroom has not fully invested in his search. He's still like, I don't know what happened. I don't want to go into her old room. Everybody says it's blocked off. Like, I don't know what's going on, right? So at this point, I don't know where we learn all of this information from, but we get to their graduation party. And this is where like the timeline starts to
converge. I
didn't
think we were learning it from anything. I thought we were just learning, you know, like I thought it was just, I don't know.
Well, it's weird because the beginning starts with his POV, right? And he's like, oh, I learned about this girl. Who is this person? I should like investigate. But then like he doesn't investigate. We just start learning about this girl on our own. So it's kind of like,
oh, I see what you're saying. Like, there should have been a tie-in.
Yeah, there's no thread. Like, I would understand if he, like, found a photo album or he found, like, a journal or he found,
yeah, that
would have
been way better.
And or he went and he, like, went into the town, right? Because they're on an island. And he, like, was like, oh, I'm going to go get gas or something. And then he runs into somebody who knows both of them.
It would have been cool if he started talking to, like, yeah, the town folk.
Yeah, like, they're, like, if he was actually going to betray her trust and, like, do all of this stuff. Like, actually do it. But we didn't get any of that. We just kind of, like, get thrown into the past without any
His part takes, like, a few hours. Or, no, more than that. There's maybe a day.
Like, he learns
it's all
about
really
her.
Quick.
He asks her, hey, who is this? And she's like, I told you not to ask me questions about my past. And then he's like, okay. And then he talks to the aunt. And she's like, the other world. And he's like, oh, I gotta go check out the room.
He goes into her room.
And then he goes into the room and then outside. I'm like, so you didn't find anything. We just know all of this information about these two girls now.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But they have a graduation party. They have a graduation party and Indigo is like, I have a present for you. Like, it's finally gonna happen. And they go into the other world and it turns out that Indigo is like, we're gonna die, we're gonna kill each other, and we have like we're gonna live here forever and be reborn, and here are our glass coffins. And so this also led me, this is also one of the reasons why I believe there's no magic, because they talk so much about her sketching and that she doesn't want anybody to see what she's sketching. And then I think her aunt had the accident, that her aunt saw what she was sketching and gets mad and tries to talk to her.
I think that too.
And then
I just wanted someone.
I'm going to blind you.
Yeah.
So bye.
I just wanted someone to say it. Like, I'm.
That's what I'm saying. There's just like there's no evidence or proof or any facts to like any of the stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Like
what
all of the
I know
accidents.
Is that the Tati comes running in with this piece of paper one day and she's like, Indigo, I need to talk to you. And she's freaking out. And Azure's like, wow, that's weird. And then like 10 minutes later, Tati is blind. And then
from her arts and crafts.
supplies. Thought the sketchbook was going to be the I thought that was going to be the thing because that happened with Tati, and I was like, he's going to find this sketchbook and it's going to be nuts.
Yeah, and, then, and he does.
Like, he doesn't.
Okay, so he finds that piece of paper, right? He's in the room and he opens up the drawer and he finds that crumpled piece of paper, and then it's in Indigo's writing or whoever, and it says made of glass, right? And then throws it back inside. Does he find that or does Azure find that?
He finds that.
Okay, so then we jump to the scene where they have the glass coffin in the other world, right? And this is where our timelines converge. So that whole scene happens and you find out that Azure, like, there's an accident and Indigo is actually the one that
dies. I'm very unclear how it happens.
So they have, they're like fighting, right? Like, Indigo's trying to like get Azure to like listen to her, and she's like, what? And they have a fight. I think she pushes her. Yeah, she pushes her away and she slips. But she makes it seem
like it's fate or like someone's helping her, or, you know, the gods and goddesses have killed her. I don't know.
And again, I think that that's her version of what the bridegroom goes through, right? So they both have this like thing in their, like, the block in their mind where they believe that it was like fate and the fae and the fairies and like the magic that like
that makes sense
just did everything, even though it was really just like an accident. Like,
it's a coping mechanism.
Yes. So she puts Indigo in the coffin, and then she says, oh, the magic made me look like her and smell like her, and now I can take her place and everything will be fine. And then she goes to the aunt, who is now blind, who thinks that Azure is Indigo, and is like, I'll keep your secret because we're family. And she thinks that Indigo killed Azure, but she didn't. But she's and all so,
like, she makes it seem like it's magic because, yeah, you know, the before magic,
like, the changed aunt her body always, and her scent.
Yeah, the before the aunt always knew Azure was Azure. She didn't have to like tell her she was Azure, even though she was blind. But now she doesn't know. She doesn't recognize her. She changed the gods have changed her scent.
And then this is where the timelines converge, because bridegroom remembers that Azure and Indigo both had keys to the other world, and one of them was a ruby and one of them was a sapphire. And so he's like, ooh, I know who has which key. So he runs out and he like sees the coffin. He says, like,
the
wait. Thing
about the key, about the colors of the key. And I was like,
which, like, ready. Again. And then he like figures it out, and he's like, oh, when were you going to tell me all of this stuff? And he like knows that
she has a gun, Indigo, and she's going to kill him. Yeah.
He knows that Indigo knew he was snooping. And so he drugs her wine that night when they have dinner, because he thinks that she's going to do something to him. And then she like falls, and then he runs to the other world to find out the secret, and finds out that Indigo is really Azure, and the real Indigo is like dead in the other world, and nobody has ever found her body, because I don't know why. And he's like, oh, so look weird. At it. And there's like this whole thing. They play a game and she gives him clues about where her past is hidden, and like, I don't even freaking know. Yeah. Like, the ending was good, like the plot twist, and I was like, oh my god, one of them is dead. But I'm like, you planned this whole thing, like, you took over a whole identity of a dead girl, and you couldn't think to like switch out your keys so that way nobody found out that you were like the wrong girl. Like,
it also boggles my mind that this dead body has been in a glass coffin for what, like a decade?
Yeah.
And no one has found it.
Yeah, and everybody is just like, oh, the crazy aunt, like, you know, it's fine. And she looks like Indigo now, even though the girl that they see when they're like at the hotel says, oh, Azure. And she's like, I think you've got the wrong person. So, like,
oh my god, I forgot that happened.
People still recognize her. Like, that's why I'm convinced that this is all just like a Shutter Island. Like, what was that other movie I told you it reminded me of? I forget now.
Shutter Island. I read that book, so I know that reference. But I don't know.
The other movie where she's like looking for the keys and it's like a magical world. The girl from A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Sucker Punch.
Yes, that one. And then the ending is like they're all psycho. Like, they're in a psycho. Yeah, they're all in a mental institution. None of this actually existed. Like, Shutter Island plus Sucker Punch plus whatever. Like, that is what in my mind I have told myself this book is. Like, there was no magic. Azure and Indigo and Bridegroom and even Aunt Tati, like, they all just convinced themselves that, like, the fairies had other plans for them and that there was magic and the magic helped them. And we, like, learn at the end, like, oh, you all just suffered from psychotic breaks because you had a lot of trauma. Like, yeah. Got it. And then nobody realizes it because they all have money. Well, at least Indigo does and Aunt Tati. And then they just live happily ever after with all their money, being two cyclists together. Being
yeah,
like,
Bridegroom is like, we lost whoa, it. This is crazy. Why don't you tell me about it? And she's like, cool, cool, cool. Let me tell you the story. And then that's how it ends. And so I guess they live in trauma together, happily ever after.
Yes, they don't go see a therapist. They don't go anywhere. They're just like, the fairies will help us. And that's it. And that's the fantasy.
Now they live in a magical sentient house together.
The house loves them. And the house is happy they're back. And happily ever after.
I love a good sentient house, though. Like, I thought that was... In Discovery of Witches, that book is weird and crazy. I don't know if I recommend that one, but there's a sentient house in that one, and I love it. It's like passive aggressive, and it throws shit at them and stuff. Like, I loved it. But that house is sentient. Like, you know that house is sentient, and it communicates with them and stuff. Like,
yes.
This one is all, like, open-ended. I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. Yeah, like, oh, the house groaned. It was so happy to see me. And I'm like, is it just old? Or is it just the creep? Like, you don't have this house being kept up. Like, are you sure it's not just rust? Are you sure it's not just, like, rotted floorboards? Are we sure? Yeah. Like, what is going on? But... after all of those clues and after, like, his storyline, the Bridegroom storyline is definitely, like, a lot more Shutter Island-esque for me. And I just don't know why the house is what brought out his memories, because I'm not convinced that it's sentient.
Yeah, obviously something triggered him to, like, unravel that.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying, like, if this was a movie, I feel like I'd be more invested, because seeing him have those flashbacks of his brother while he's, like, staring at a cupboard in the house. Yeah. Or seeing the house groan and you're like, wait, is this a fairy? Or is he hearing things in his mind? Like, what is going on?
I must read too much fantasy books, because I was eating this up in a literal way. Like, I thought maybe there was a fairy realm and that his brother was lost in it. Like, and that was gonna be like, I don't know, that he would just appear. And I thought Indigo was going to be like some goddess or something. Like, she had power. I don't know. I was waiting for it to be like really crazy.
I was waiting for that too.
In a fantastical way. And then it wasn't.
I was waiting for the fairy tale ending where, like, they finally make it into fairy because they've, like, unlocked the real key, which is like Indigo has a heart now or like whatever it is. But that didn't happen. Like, we find out that she's just actually psycho and was planning their deaths her entire life, basically, in her sketch pad. And then she died. Like, I don't...
The end. And his brother's been dead the entire time.
Yeah, up until that point, I was also like, maybe I'm just not reading this correctly and it's actually magic. Like, maybe I just don't understand
it. I mean, I'm also probably a dumb bitch. I don't know. I thought that, like, there was literal fantasy fairy shit happening.
Oh, man. I don't know. Oh, also, there are, like, those two parts where I think it's only two scenes where, like, Indigo is talking to somebody out on the roof and she's like, I would never hurt her. Like,
yeah, we never get an explanation for that.
And then also Tati is talking to somebody. She's like, I already told him. Like, no, it's up to him now.
Oh,
when
yeah,
she's like,
she has like an imaginary friend or something. I thought that Tati, for a while, I thought that Tati was going to be talking to Azure, like her ghost or something, or like, I don't know. Her.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh,
and
then
like Bridegroom would, I don't know, like figure out how she died or communicate with her or something.
I thought Indigo's secret was going to be that she was like,
but all
a
these
fairy.
Little things happen and we just never get explanations for them.
Yes. And so those are like the little moments where I'm like, I just want answers. Like, otherwise I'm gonna convince myself that she's psycho and she was talking to herself. Like, she's sitting out on the roof talking to herself because she's planning their murder. That she's planning their freaking suicides, basically.
She's and then sobbing telling and herself, she's like, I don't want to murder. I don't want to hurt her.
Yes, and she's talking to herself because she's thinking about, like, oh, they're glass coffins. And then she's, like, also telling herself, oh, I love her so much, I would never hurt her. And then Azure wakes up and, it, like, sees Indigo talking to something, but she doesn't know what because she's drunk. And then she's like, oh, who are you talking to? And Indigo's like, no one. Because she actually wasn't talking to anybody. She was talking to herself.
Yeah. Imagine being the person that gets – that has to make the glass coffin. You get this order and it's like, hey, I need some coffins that are made of glass. Thanks.
Okay, wait.
I'm 17. Hope that's cool.
This. I didn't think about this at all. And now I'm curious how she even got the glass coffins because...
I mean, she has buttloads of money, so, like, she could make it happen.
Wait, also, was there one or two glass coffins? Because I feel like I only remember one.
Yeah, now I'm not sure.
Because I'm like, was her plan always just to kill Azure and live forever herself?
She's going to murder Azure. She's like, oh, that's cool. We're going to be together forever, even though I'm alive.
I'm going to take your soul into my body, and that's how you're going to live with me. So I'm like, wait. Okay.
All the hair stuff. All of the hair. The hair memory.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about how I would make this a movie and change it so that way at the end you're seeing all of these flashbacks, but in the way they actually happen, which is like Indigo talking to herself and Tati talking to herself and Indigo planning all of these things to make it look like it's magic, but it's not. And everybody believes that it's magic, but it's really just Indigo. Like,
yeah,
on
that
one.
Would be cool. Like the reveal at the end that it's hasn't been magic the entire time.
Yeah, it's just been her being a psycho. That would be fun. I wish
for sure.
I wish that's how it ended because it would make me feel a lot better about not understanding most of it. Like, am I reading magic or am I just reading flowery words?
Right.
But yeah.
It also bothered me. I loved the ending because I didn't see it coming at all. And then when it happened, I was like, oh my God, this explains everything. But then the more I thought about it, it really bothers me that the Azure that we come to know by the end of the book in the childhood timeline doesn't feel like it matches the person that we meet in the other timeline. Like, they feel like completely different people. And I feel like that's what makes the twist work, because I genuinely thought it was Indigo because
her personality matches her psycho personality. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it ends up being Azure, and I didn't see it coming, but I'm also like, wow, you changed. I don't know. Like,
okay, yes.
I hated that.
I agree with that, too. Also, when she walked into Tati's room, and Tati is like, oh, you killed my favorite, like, but I'm still going to protect you because you're family. There was no point in her, like, at any point in time, she didn't stop to think, like, I know Tati loves me more than she loved Indigo. I could just tell her that I'm Azure and, like, we'll figure it out and we'll just pretend I'm Indigo. That would have solved everything. There would have been no story if she would have just been like, it's me, Tati. It's Azure, not Indigo.
Yeah.
Like, Tati would have been ecstatic. She would have been happy to have Indigo gone.
She would have helped her, too. She would have, like...
Yeah, she would have just been like, okay, we'll just make you Indigo now.
She would have gone with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and they could have lived happily ever after. Tati wouldn't have had to live her whole adult life
in a bed. She wouldn't have had to rope bridegroom into finding Azure for her.
Yeah, like, everything would have been fine.
Does she ever know... She never finds out. She dies, right?
She dies, yeah. She dies in the middle of the night, and then... Indigo / Azure is like, we'll celebrate her life by having dinner before we leave. And they have dinner in the house.
Oh, yeah, that was
in,
weird.
Like, the sanctum or whatever, which was like Indigo's favorite room to draw, right? Or was that
Tati
her favorite
room to
read?
Tati was still alive when it happened, right? I thought that was weird. Because I thought Tati was still alive and they were celebrating her life while she was alive but about to die by having this feast.
I
was like, this is weird.
I could be wrong, but I know that's what
too.
They're celebrating Tati in some way. She may or may not be alive, but it's not important to the plot.
No.
Because you don't see her
at all. I just thought it was weird that she was still alive and they were like, let's celebrate her life by having dinner without her in the dining room.
Oh, man. That's all I got. I don't.
The teeth. There was lots of teeth.
Oh yeah, there were like weird moments where he's like, "I have an itch in my throat," and I like reached in.
Yeah,
and
was, what was
like,
that?
Hair, and I was like, "Is it, or are you having another psychotic break?"
Again,
like,
thought that was going to be something. Never turned into anything.
Yeah, and it was just hair and a tooth with an A on it, and I was like, "But you're Azure, so like that doesn't make sense anymore because like you're her, so
that doesn't work out." About that.
Like, if it would have been a tooth with an eye, then that would make sense. But I don't know if it was symbolism. Like, oh, the Azure that we knew
did
is dead.
Did Tati do that? Because it's – I don't know.
Oh, maybe. But the first one that he sees is in their house. The first, like
– because she loses a baby tooth and then she gives it to Tati. Does Tati carve the A in it? Is that where that came from?
Are you saying that it's an old relic from when they did it? Got it.
But that still doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. Like, why would she have
it in a statue at their house? Why would she have her own baby tooth and hair? Now I'm thinking about this. I don't know.
This
book was wild.
This book is wild. It's confusing. I can see why people enjoyed it. It's like I wish it would have been more of a thriller than a fantasy, because I think I would have enjoyed it more and understood, like, okay, maybe everything is not as it seems, but maybe it works. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a different conclusion in a few weeks. Who knows? But I am still thinking about it, so I guess that means that it did something. It did something for me.
I stayed up until 3:30 a.m. finishing it, and I'm still thinking about it all this time, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't tell if this book just wasn't for me, or I don't know. But it's weird. What a ride.
It's a weird one. I'm still convincing myself that they're all just in a psych ward and living
I can't even argue against you. Yeah.
But if the House of Dreams is magical and the other world exists and the fairies did help Azure cover up her murder and she was able to live so long and also get married and, you know, the house did help him find out his brother was actually dead and all of that stuff, then, like, that's cool, too. Like, I must have missed it, but.
And the mom just pieces out. She's just like, daughter.
She saves money for Azure and sends it to her at school. And then Azure buys that bus ticket and she's supposed to leave. And then that's when Indigo's like, "You're not leaving."
Yeah.
What a ride.
I don't know.
Well, I guess that's it. Till next time.
We currently have a poll going in our Discord chat for the next book. We decided to read actual horror, like, not that this isn't horror. I don't know.
Comedy horror.
It's not question mark horror, but it's actual legitimate horror that is supposed to be scary. Comedy horror by Grady
Hendrix.
The poll is still up, but My Best Friend's Exorcism is in the lead. How to Sell a Haunted House is in second place. So we'll be reading one of those books probably.
Yes. So if you'd like to join us, hit up our Discord. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok and all of the things at Emo Girls Guide. And you can come read our next book and hopefully we enjoy it this time.
Yeah.
More than the last two that we read.
What is happening?
I think it's because we're trying to read stuff that's not necessarily things that we would read on our own to like expand.
Which is good. We're broadening the horizons.
We're broadening our horizons. We haven't found our favorite things from
our discovering what we like. Yeah.
So maybe there's something out there that is like The Last Tale of the Flower Bride that we might like more. That's a little bit more centered in a fairy tale than like modern stuff.
I don't need it to be fantasy. I just want to know. I'm like you. I just want to. Yeah. I want answers. Like, tell me what's going on.
I'm analytical. logical. I don't live in the unknown. I need to have answers. but yeah, okay. So, join us for our March read. It'll be fun. We're reading something a little bit different, like we said. You can find a link to our Discord on our Instagram or in our link on our website. We'll also link it out on the podcast description for you if you'd like to join us and vote. And until next time, we hope your day is full of main character energy.
Main character energy. Woo.